this week we have three, it is a triple header. We have three Sifrei Torah. It's not all that common to have to learn from three Sifrei Torah in one Shabbos. It's Parshas Tazria. We only learn one Parsha. It's not Tazria Mitzara. It is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it is Parshas HaChodesh, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodoshim. It's very unique. It's not all that common. It's more common that it should be Mocher Chodesh than it should be Shabbos Chodesh. And it's a very big dilemma which Haftarah to lay. You know, there's not a dilemma, Halacha L'maaseh, so we lay Mochar Chodesh and Parsha Chodesh is.
That means Pesach is Sunday.
Okay. Pesach Shachal Yos B'Shabbes. Pesach. Okay. So this year we have all three come together: Tazria, Parsha Rosh Chodesh, and Parsha Sachodesh. It's interesting that these three parshios, each one by itself, represents Hischatshus. Renewal, or let's talk about a new beginning, or a new first. Now, what do I mean? Let's give it to try to look at it in two different ways. Number one, let's focus on Parsha Sachodesh. Parsha Chodesh is HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodoshim. It's the beginning of the new year, but there is a very significant event which took place on this day. And that is the Chanukas HaMishkan. The Mishkan, the construction was complete on the 25th day of Kislev, but Hashem instructed that it not be put up until the first day of Nisan. It was really the 23rd day. 23rd day was the beginning of the 8 days of the Miluim, but it was completed on the 8th day of the Miluim, Bahi Bayom HaShmini. This is last week's parasha, was the first day of Nisan. This was the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to rest His Shekhinah upon this world permanently in the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the first time a mokoim, a location, was designated to be the place where Hashem would rest His Shekhinah. The Mishkan represents the concept of the sanctification of location. The Mishkan was not the permanent location. The Mishkan traveled with Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, then went to Shiloh, then went to Gilgal, went to Shiloh, Neve Givon, Bais Rishon, until it finally came to the permanent location. But nevertheless, in the Midbar, that is what a Mishkan is. It is the sanctification of a very specific location to serve as a place for Hashem Shekhinah. The day of HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim is telling us about an event. It's the beginning of the year, but it's also an event took place of, it's the Rosh of Mokoim. What else do we commemorate tomorrow? Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh represents the beginning of Zman. Every 30 days, it's a renewal of time. And Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the ultimate renewal of time, because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Chodesh of the Rosh Chodashim. It's the first of all of the Rosh Chodashim. What else do we have in this week's parasha? We have Parshas Tazria. Parshas Tazria discusses the creation of a human being. Isha ki Sazria v'yolda Zohar. A woman conceives and gives birth to a child, a human being, the creation of a human being, the beginning of a human being. We know that in the Svarim HaKadoshim there are three different worlds. There's something called Mokoim, there's something called Oilam. I'm not sure I'm using the correct terminology. There is Mokoim, there is location, there is time, and there is Nefesh, there is a human being. For example, in Yom HaKippurim, we have the holiest Jew in Klal Yisrael, the Kohen Gadol. He goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh, in the holiest location, on the holiest day of the year. All three come together on Yom HaKippurim, the holiest Jew, the holiest location, the holiest day of the year. To some degree, that's what we have tomorrow. Because tomorrow we have the concept of the beginning, the Rosh, of all three concepts being expressed in a very significant way. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when we commemorate HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, when we learn the parasha of HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, he was speaking about a very specific, this day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the day of the Hakamas HaMishkan, the sanctification of the first Mokoyim Hashuas HaShchina. It's also the time when we focus on the renewal of Zman, and it's also expressed the time when a new person comes into this world, the beginning of a person. All of these three things come together tomorrow on one Shabbos. If you look at it a little bit differently as well, another way of looking at it is that all three represent different forms of renewal, different forms of hischadshus. For example, if you would ask the average person from the three things that we're going to learn tomorrow, which one is the most significant? So I think the other person will tell you, well, I'll prove to you from the Haftarah. Tomorrow there are three Haftarahs that are competing for attention. There's the Haftarah of Parshas Tazria, which is a very important and popular Haftarah because it talks about the famine, Naaman. That was next week, I'm really confused. Okay, we have the Haftarah of Naaman. Right? This week's Haftarah is the Haftarah of Naaman. It had Saras. It's a very popular Haftarah from Sefer Melachim. And then we have Shabbos, we have Rosh Chodesh, we have from Yeshaya, and then we have HaChodesh HaZelochem. We have the Haftarah that deals with Yechezkel, who deals with what's going to happen in the time of Mashiach, all the various events. So the fact that we learn tomorrow the Haftarah of Yechezkel would seem to indicate that the most chashuv of the three events tomorrow is Shabbos HaChodesh. But the truth is, I think you can argue that the most chashuv thing tomorrow is Parashas Tazria. Why do I say that? There are three different types of renewal. Parashas HaChodesh is the beginning. It's a new beginning. HaChodesh Zelochem Rosh Chodashim. But we find something unique about it in the beginning of Bereishis. The first Rashi in Bereishis, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo Hoya Torah Tzach LaHaskel Ela HaChodesh HaZelochem Rosh Chodashim. What we're going to learn tomorrow really should have been the beginning of the Torah. The only reason why we did not lay HaChodesh Zelochem Rosh Chodashim on Simchas Torah, the beginning of the Torah, was because Koyach Nas of Higel Yamo Lo Seis Lehem Nach LaSamech. The Shparuch wanted to teach the world that it's His world. Hashem gives Eretz Yisrael to who He wants. Hashem removes from Eretz Yisrael people that do not observe the Kedushas Haaretz and gives it to who He wants. So it comes out that when we read tomorrow the beginning, it's the beginning that was meant to be but never happened. It's the beginning. Tomorrow is a fresh beginning. HaChodesh Hazel Lechem Rosh Chodashim, the first mitzvah, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. It was meant to be the beginning. But it was the beginning that never happened. Now, what else is tomorrow? Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a new beginning. Every 30 days, we renew ourselves. We Mekadesh to Levana. But Rosh Chodesh is not a new beginning, it's just a renewal. There's a difference between a beginning and a renewal. Every 30 days we renew ourselves. Every year we renew the year. You can't say it's a new absolute beginning. But Parshas Tazria is the absolute new beginning that's possible. Isha ki Tazria v'yolda Zohar. A new person comes into this world. When a person comes into this world, you can't say he's been recycled. I don't care what you'll tell me about Gilgulim, and you'll tell me about Kabbalah Svarim. The bottom line is, a person comes into this world, there's nothing as new, as fresh, and unique as the creation. There's nothing as creative. There's nothing in this world that's more creative. Okay, the neshamas, but the neshama being put in a guf, in a human form, even if you'll tell me that he's a Gilgal, but he's a different person. It's a uniqueness. Chazal say, Kashem she'en partzufeim shavas, kach ein deyosem shavas. No two people look alike. No two people think alike. And here we have creativity, uniqueness, a fresh beginning. So it turns out in this week's parsha, what we really have over here, we have three different types of beginnings. We have a beginning that was meant to be, but it never happened. HaChodesh Zelochem lo hayotzach tzarech hatar lahaskel ela. The HaChodesh Zelochem Rosh Chodashim. But it wasn't meant to be. it wasn't meant to be, because there were other priorities, there were other technicalities that got in the way of allowing this to be the beginning. The second beginning is just a renewal. It's Rosh Chodesh, big deal. There's a Rosh Chodesh tomorrow, there was a Rosh Chodesh 30 days ago, there'll be a Rosh Chodesh in Yirtz Hashem, HaBalein L'Toiva, in another 30 days from now. You want to say it's a new year? So, there was a last year was another year, and the year before was another year, and in Yirtz Hashem will be another year. It's just, the beginning is viewed in terms of a renewal, not an absolute beginning. But the most chush of a beginning tomorrow is the first pasuk in the parasha. Isha ki sazria, a woman conceives, the yolda zohar, a new person comes into this world. Wow, that's a new beginning. That's a fresh start. That is an act of creative labor, pun intended. Creative labor, a new child comes into this world. It's a Musar Haskel, because sometimes we forget that the most chashiv are the things that we do all the time. What is Tadir? Things that come once a year, wow, it's special. Something Chachayz Delachem once a year, it's a very special thing. We get all excited, all worked up. Something comes every 30 days, a Sudas Rosh Chodesh is very, very special. But the truth is, the things that are Keseder, part of the Seder, the Sidra, things that you lay in every Shabbos, this really, in truth, is the most chashuv, is the most significant, and that is expressed to some degree in this little Jewish, where tomorrow, the first pasuk, really, nothing, everything pales into comparison to the chashivus of the schachos of Isha ki sazria, the yolda zohar. Okay, let's go to another short idea. We have, with the birth of a child, the Torah tells us, there is a parsha of Tumah. Yishaki Sajib Yolda Zohar. What happens with Tumah? Shivas Yomim Kimei Nidas Devay Satet Moshi is Tumah for 7 days. Now, what's interesting is the Torah would... the fact that there's Tumah is a Chiddush in itself. Because why should there be Tumah? Because there's blood. Okay, whatever there is. The Torah is Mechadesh that there's going to be a law of Tumah. But the Torah goes further and it tells us Kimei Nidas Devay Sa. The tumah will be identical to the tumah of a nida. Nidas divas, and Rashi says, Rashi, not only Rashi, I'm unfortunately very disturbed. The Torah writes this as if we already know this from 100 years ago. The truth is, the laws of tumas nida are not taught until much later on in the parasha, until later on in Chumash Vayikra. So we never even knew, we never even heard that there's something called a tumas nida. And here the parasha throws out as a given, you know, the woman gives birth, she's tameh, she's just like a nida. Nida mandik harashme. You never even told me what a nida is. That there is tumas nida. Okay, you learn about it. You learn about it later on in Chumash Vayikra. You learn there's something called tumas nida. But that opens up the question: why indeed is tumas leida equivalent to the tumas nida? Because the truth is, they're seemingly extreme opposites. We are well aware that a woman who is a nida, what it really represents is there was lost potential. When a woman becomes nida, that basically means that her body was gearing up to produce a child. Her ovaries released an egg, and that egg was now ready to be mekabel, the zera of a zachar, to become fertilized, to produce a human being, and things would have been very different. And if a woman does not become pregnant, and that cycle in her body does not come to fruition, then it produces what we call tumas nida. The body, the egg sheds, it turns into blood, it comes forth, and she becomes a nida. When a woman is a nida, there is tumah. And Chazal explained the reason why there is tumah is because there is lost potential. There was a possibility here for a human being to be created, to be formed, to bring in this world a kedusha, a revelation of a kadosh baruch hu, a person to exercise b'chira chavshis, and that potential has been lost, has been missed, and therefore the woman has to suffer the consequence. She has to sit in the tumah. There's no such thing as being parif. Either there's kedusha, and when kedusha is absent, it's lost. There is tumah. There is tumah. When a woman gives birth, why in the world should there be tumas nida? Kimei nidas devaysa. This is a success. This is the ultimate success. This child, this egg, has been fertilized, has developed, has produced a healthy child, and now this child will come into the world and will now be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. This is a success. So if you want to tell me, no, there has to be Tumah, okay. Whatever reason you'll tell me there should be Tumah, when a woman, she gives birth, she's Karas, she has a Kavana that she's not going to ever, she makes a Shavua, she's not going to have more children, this is going to happen, all the different reasons you can tell me why there should be Tumah, this blood that comes forth in the Psichas HaKever, but Kinei Nidas Divoy Saw, the Tumah has to be a Tumah equivalent to the Tumas Nida? Doesn't make sense. Tumas Nida is Tumah because of a failure. This failure did not happen. This birth is a success. So why is there Tumas Nida Saw? So I don't have a good answer. Okay, the question I think is a tough question, but I think the answer borders on the Torah is giving a person Musar. The Torah is giving a person the Musar. It is common when a person succeeds, he has a tendency to look down at all of the people who he has stepped upon, who have failed. Only one person can be the president. Only one person can be the Melech. Only one person can be the Kohen Gadol. When you succeed, when you get that job that everyone is competing, why did I get the job? Because I'm better. I am a success, and everyone else is a failure. That's human nature. There's success. Success breeds complacency. All different types of. We all understand what it's all about. The Torah here is giving a woman powerful mussar. Here you are. This woman who opens up Parshas Tazria is the ultimate success. Isha ki Tazria v'yolda Zacha. The Torah says, don't get excited. It's true, you're matzliach. But don't let this success to lead to gaiva, to lead to contempt, to complacency, to looking down on other people. The Torah says, I want you now at the time of your success to put yourself in a frame of mind of what would have happened had you failed. There's going to be Tumah. You're going to be Tumah for 7 days. And the Tumah, when you enter that Tumah, it should be Kinei Nidas Divoisa Titma. Put yourself in the frame of mind of what would have happened if you did not succeed. Put yourself in the frame of mind of all of your friends who were not blessed to have children at this point in time like you. Don't let your success get ahead of you and cause a midah raw. The whole parish is all about saras. Saras all more or less deals with gaiva. It's all different expressions. Se'es, sapachas, beheres. Rashi and Chazal tell us all different expressions of arrogance, haughtiness. Before we get to the saras, I mean, what is the hekesh? That's one of the other major questions. What's the smichas apsukim connecting the theme of Leda to the theme of Tzaras. It's all when we hear this idea of Kimei Nidas Devoisa Titma, the Torah is coming to humiliate her. It's coming, you're also going to be like a Nida. Put yourself in the frame of mind of what would have been if you had not have given birth. Then already it fits well into the next parash, the parash of Tzaras. Tzaras, all about humble yourself, don't become a Balgaiva. Se'e Sapachas, expressions of person becoming, thinking of himself more than he really is. He has to be humiliated, he has to be Bodod Yeshem, Chusamachna Mashavo. That's also possibly what the Torah is trying to impress upon this woman. Now we have a principle, we say every single day, twice a day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Why do we focus all the time on Hashem Echad? The answer is, because sometimes we have good days and we have bad days. We have good days when we're very successful, and then we have days when we're not so successful. And a person who's not a religious person is in danger of coming to think that on this day, Hashem was working for me, and on this day, Hashem was absent. Hashem was busy with other people. Or there was maybe a person could think there's another force in this world. There's another force in this world that caused me to fail. And on this day was a good day. A person always has to remember Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The good days and the bad days, the days of success, the days of failure, it's Hashem Echad. It's the same Ribbono Shel Olam. He's there. He's always there. And sometimes he wants you to feel one way. Sometimes he wants you to have a different hergish. It's Hashem Echad. The woman here is in danger. She's in danger due to her success. Kimei nidas devosa. Go and look back what would have been had you not had a child. Had you been in nida and this egg had it not developed. What would you have been thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without? You would have complained. You would have bitter complaint. How come I'm a failure? Now that you're succeeding, don't think. Don't look at it any differently. You have to acknowledge Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, whether you succeed, whether you fail. You have to have that same emun. It's all the same thing. Because again, the key point of this idea is it's mamish astira. It's a complete head-on contradiction. Nidas divoisa with leida. Because leida is the success, the absence of being a nida. Nida is when you don't succeed in producing a leida. And the fact that Torah is bringing this together is coming to put us in the right frame of mind. Okay, yeah.
It's nice, but the question is, why is it for Nekeva twice?
Nekeva, that's a different idea. The Zman of Tumah.
What I wanted to throw out is that the child is, the Nefesh inside, is, we know the Malach is teaching him. So when he comes out, he loses that connection.
Okay.
So he goes down in Madrega.
And an Isha,
that Madrega,
yeah.
It gives him a Tumah. And if it's a girl, it's even, you know, I don't want to be chauvinist, but it's worse. Because a boy, the chalapachas, comes out, he has all the mitzvahs. The girl comes out, she's...
Is there a malach teaching a girl inside her mother's womb?
But
is there?
Much less. And when you come to Tzaraz, we say, Gaiba is ena nida hu yachud.
Yeah.
So you even send him out of the machna. So he's spiritually, he's completely... He's going down Madrid again. So there's a tumor associated.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll just say fast what the Abravanel says, why grows twice the amount. It says the blood in the womb is hotter when a child is when a boy is born. And so it only takes that amount of time for all the blood to leave the body. So it's 33 days. However, for a girl, it's colder. And when it's colder, it congeals a little bit more. It takes a longer time for the blood to expiate, to get rid of the body, to get rid of the blood.
So it's double. It's double. It's scientific.
I mean, that's the way it is.
The common reason why a woman is dull is because Isha Mazras Techila, if a woman has a taiva first, then it's a boy. If a man has more of a taiva, then it's a girl. Men have more kedusha than women. I don't want to be a male chauvinist. Okay? But Chazal say men are mitzvah, mitzvah say she'ein hazman grama, so men have more kedusha. If a man has a girl, so what does that mean? Who is Mazras Techila? He was. The girls are mushush after the men. So therefore, there's more tumah. There's 14 days of tumah because it's coming from a shoresh of more kedusha. But when a woman gives birth to a boy, that means who is Mazras Techila? Who do we trace the lineage? Who do we trace this child to the mother? The mother has less kedusha, so the tumah that depart when the tumah, when the void, when after the kedusha leaves the womb, and now there's a void and there's going to be tumah, it's going to be seven, it's going to be less. That's a very popular idea of why there's going to be more tone by a boy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Really? Everyone says that the world, that there's kedusha in certain places. When kedusha leaves a certain place, like a person, never. Tumah comes in.
Right.
Shana Gai Pegos. Right. Tumah comes in. Same thing here. The Isha is carrying in her a source of Kedusha.
Okay.
Yingla, Maigla, she's fine. When she gives birth, the Kedusha leaves and the vacuum is filled.
Right. Correct.
So
okay.
Right. Double by the Kava.
Yeah.
About it. Not with the rug and Meyer, somebody said. the woman has more kedusha,
more potential.
She's kaviyacho in the same position as the Halakha B'Shefer.
To create, to be a creator.
So
a woman is a creator, right?
There's
more kedusha.
Kedusha.
Okay, that's another idea.
When she leaves, when the the yalda leaves the womb is a greater tumah.
Vacuum.
Because a girl will be a creator. A girl will also produce. She'll also be a creator. Okay. Look, they say. What you're saying is very true. They say. I remember hearing of Ari Kaplan. He in the Aryeh Kaplan, Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan anthology, in his anthology, so he has one little kuntres on tefillin. So he asked the question, why don't women wear tefillin? Why don't, so he says, you know why? Because the tefillin, they themselves are tefillin. The ritzuos are the umbilical cords, and the bias represents they themselves produce children, so they themselves are a bias. I saw something that complimented what he said because it's telaid. Tail are the same letters as dalid. Delis, backwards. There's a development that a woman in Echlam, like you're saying over here, the woman herself has a certain higher madrug than a man, and that's why the vacuum brings with it more tumma. Okay, let's go to another idea. I came across something very interesting in the Sefer that if you read the parasha here, you will discover that the word hine appears exactly 25 times. 25 times in this parasha does it say when the Torah talks about the revelation that so and so has saras vihine, there's a nega. Go find one example quickly over here. We have over here the beginning of the parasha. That's the first of 25 times. What is the significance of the number 25? Before we answer that question, I also want to take note is that when it comes to determine if a person has a nega, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us the person should be brought to Aharon HaKohen. Wow, every person in Klal Yisrael has to go to the Kohen Gadol? So it says, okay, or one of his children. If he's not available, you can go to one of his children. And in fact, the Medrash picks up upon this. Why does the Torah go out of its way to tell us that you have to go bedafka to Aaron? You have to go to one of his children? The Medrash says that Moshe was hurt. When Moshe saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the one that's going to make this determination is only Aaron, Moshe says, why not me? I'm the Melech, I'm the Dayan, I'm the Rabban Shel Yisrael. Who is there better to teach the laws of Negoyim, Saras, than the Talmidei Chachamim? And in fact, many times the Kohanim were not Talmidei Chachamim. We know that they had to go and bring every Kohen had to be assisted by a Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham will look at the Nega and he will tell, okay, this is a Nega. So Kohen, say Tomei. You Kohen, say Tomei. Or you Kohen, say Tar. It has to come out of the mouth of a Kohen, but the one that historically made the decisions with the Talmidei Chacham. So the Midrash goes on to say, is that Hashem was Mephayis Moshe Rabbeinu, when it says, I want this only for Aaron for different reasons. Some say it's because if a person does not give the manas kahuna, it's me the keneged me. If the person does not give the manas kahuna to the koyin, the zroya ve'elachayayim and the truma, so therefore menela. That's why the goyim come. So therefore, it has to be that the koyin is going to be the one that's going to say to the person, your tama, your tar. Okay, there are different answers, but one thing we take away from this is that the parish of Negoim is miyuchid. It's miyuchid for Aaron Ubanov. And I think similarly you can say, besides what the Medrash says, is the reason why it's miyuchid for Aaron Ubanov, and we have this idea, many places in this parasha, is that when you come to the Kohen to ask him, am I Tamei or not Tamei, it wasn't just a quick answer, yes, no. It was a learning experience. Just like Chazal tell us that when a person would come to bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, he would come in contact with the Kohanim, it was a spiritual experience. You would come to the Beis HaMikdash, and you would tell the Kohen, I did a Navera, and I have to bring a carbon, and he would give you Musar. He would give you Musar, and he would sit down with you, And the entire experience was a learning experience which would elevate a person to become a better person. It wasn't just you pay the money and you bring the carbon and you're on the next plane out. That's not what it was. It was an experience to be with Kohanim who are holy and to learn from their ways. If a person is suffering from tsaras, that means we got a problem. This person was nichshol in Lashon Hara. He was nichshol in Gaiva. All the long list of things Chazal say which bring tsaras. So when you go to the Kohen, you're really going to a Baal Musar. It's the Kohanim were known to be teachers. They were known to be people who Baalei Musar, not necessarily Psak Halacha. Psak Halacha is it Osir or is it Mutar? Kohanim, what role models? That's why it's specifically the Kohanim. They're role models in Hashkafa, in Musar, Hadroch, and Yerushalayim. Talmidei Chachamim are experts in telling you what's the bottom line. Is it us or is it Mut? And they also, of course, serve as role models in Bali Musar. But the primary goal of the Kohanim was to be the people that were Mashpia upon the Ruach of Klal Yisrael. What? Okay, so now we have the question. We know that Kohanim have 24 gifts. There are 24 Matnos Kohuna. But the truth is, Chazal tell us there is a 25th gift. And what is the 25th gift? The 25th gift that the Kohanim receive, it's not really what they receive, it's what they give. It's Birchas Kohanim. Koi Sivaruchu Es Bnei Yisrael. Kohanim, the parish of Birchas Kohanim begins with the word Ko. Ko is 25. Ko Sivaruchu Bnei Yisrael. And Chazal learned from this is that Birchas Kohanim is not just something they do. It's the 24th gift. 25th gift that they receive. You'll ask me, this is not called receiving. This is something that they have to do. The 24 manas kahuna, what? Vani avarachem. So you say, okay, that's really what I'm trying to answer. Is all the other 24 things, the things that they receive. The 25th, but this is something, the answer is, there's no greater gift than giving. It's the opportunity that a person has to give. To give bracha, to bestow bracha, to be involved with people is the ultimate gift you can receive. And therefore, koi sevaruchu, I've already given you 24 blessings, now I'm going to give you the 25th gift, and that is, I'm going to give you an opportunity to bless Klal Yisrael. Perhaps we can suggest, al derech drush, is that that's what the significance of vihine, why it appears 25 times here in the parasha of Negoim. Person has a problem. He has a problem, he has a nega. Is this something bad or is this something good? Well, the truth is, Chazal tell us it's a mixed bag. On the one hand, obviously it's a very big tzara. He has a nega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to him and said, you got a problem. You're a Baal Gaiva. You spoke Lashon Hara. But yet Chazal said that the parasha begins, V'hoyo, what it says here, V'hoyo, Yiyya. I don't remember exactly where it says it, but it says in multiple times with Yiyya, which Chazal tells us, Ein Yiyya and Ein V'hoyo, El Lashon Simcha. It's something good. Kiyya, Kiyya, Besaro. Says Yiyya is Lashon Simcha. How could it be a Lashon Simcha? It's a terrible tzara. The answer is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing about the supernatural and is giving you the opportunity to go to the Kohen. To go to, who are you going to go to? You're going to go only to Aharon, and you're going to have now a meeting with the Kohen Gadol. And if he's not available, no, so you'll go to his deputy, he'll go to one of his older children, you're going to go to the top. If not for this nega, you would never have the opportunity to go and speak to the Kohen Gadol, to speak to one of his highest deputies, to consult and to learn how to be a better person. Ein yiyeh el lashon simcha. The mele, when a person now has a nega, the way the Torah describes vihine, we got a problem here. Behold, it's expressed with the number 25. Because now you're going to go have contact with the Kohen, and the Kohen's going to now bestow upon you his 25th gift. What is the 25th gift of the Kohen? It's not to take, it's to give. He will deal with you. He will come meet with you. He will look at the nega. He will tell you the significance of what this nega, and he will be able to rehabilitate you, to be misaken you. The role of the Kohen Gadol in dealing with the people who have Negoim is a role of Birchas Kohanim, of of bestowing upon them their goodness, their bracha, to rehabilitate, to assist Klal Yisrael in what needs to be done. It's not a coincidence that tomorrow, when we lay in the parasha of Negayim, we're landing it on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the first time that Aaron recited Birchas Kohanim. We learned that from last week's parasha. On the eighth day of the Miluim, after the Shekhinah came down from Shemayim and burned the Korbanos, the pasuk says that Aaron, he went out and he blessed Klal Yisrael. And Rashi says, what was the blessing he gave to Klal Yisrael on the eighth day of the Miluim? Birchas Kohanim, Yivarechecha, Yoher, and Yisa. And in fact, I saw in Rabbi Shur, in one of his sermon, he quotes from another sefer. He mentions that why are there 60 letters in Birchas Kohanim? So this is something very interesting. When did Klal Yisrael begin to build the Mishkan? They began to build the Mishkan on the day after Yom Kippur. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos Shnios on Yom Kippur, and that is when the following day is when they began to build the Mishkan. When was the Mishkan complete? On the 25th day, or really the 24th, 25th, you have to make a calculation, 24th, 25th day of Kislev. How many days are there from the 11th day of, of Tishrei until the 25th day? Exactly 73. 73 days. There are 15 days left in Tishrei. There are 30 days, in Cheshvan, and there are 25 days there are 73 days from the, there are 24 days in Kislev until you get the 25th day, when it was complete on the 24th day, and it was ready, the Chanukah was ready for the 25th, so there are 24, and then there are going to be maybe 29 days in Cheshvan and 15 days in Tishrei. That adds up to 73. So then 30 days. You have to make the count. There are 30 days. From those 30 days, they did not work on Shabbos. That's said multiple times in the requirement to build the Mishkan. Es Shabbosai Tishmeru Umikdashi Tirahu. Even though I'm letting you build the Mishkan, don't think for one moment that building the Mishkan is Doicha Shabbos. So how many Shabbosos are there in those 73 days? There were exactly 11 Shabbosos in those 73 days. Make the count. And how many days of Yom Tov? There were only 2 days of Yom Tov. The first day Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. So 11 plus 2 is 13, and 73 minus 13 is 60. Exactly 60 days. And from those 60 days, in how many of the for how many days were there in Chodesh Tishrei? 15. They were in Chodesh Tishrei. From those, how many days did they work? I have to make there's a calculation. How could it be 15? Because there had to be Shabbos in Chodesh Tishrei. The Shabbos was so... 90 minus 4. There are 60, there's more to the calculations, even more details, which I don't remember now the details, but the point is, the reason why Aaron blessed Klal Yisrael, the Chanukah HaMishkan, there was a delay. After they finishing the Mishkan on the 25th day of Kislev, they waited until Aleph Nisan was to correspond to the 60 days that Klal Yisrael were busy in building the Mishkan. They built the Mishkan for exactly 60 days, from the day after Yom Kippur until the 25th day of Kislev, and during those 73 days, there were 13 days which they did not work, so a grand total of exactly 60 days which they worked, and it was delayed, the Chanukah was delayed until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So when Aaron went and gave them the bracha, V'hinoyam Hashem Elokein Elein Namas Yadin, that was Moshe's bracha, and Aaron, it says in the pasuk, gave them the bracha of Birchas Kehanim, he gave them the bracha of exactly 60 letters, and the 60 letters, this part of the calculation was divided into three parts. There's Yivarechecha, there is Yisa, and there is Yoher, and each of those correspond to the three months which they built the Mishkan. They built the Mishkan in Tishrei, and in Cheshvan, and in Kislev, and the numbers, there's some calculation of exactly why the number of letters for each section corresponds to those months, for a grand total of 60. So I just want to point out that it's not a coincidence. Tomorrow here, we're going to read tomorrow the parasha parasha of Negoim, the parasha of Negoim where a person has to come before the Kohen, and every time the person comes to the Kohen, the Torah goes out of its way and says, Vihine is not necessarily a pleasant word. Vihine means the unexpected. Life is not predictable. We like to have regularity. We like to be able to predict what's coming next.
Right.
What?
Hine is
60. Hine is 60, correct. That's another part of the calculus. Okay, very good. So we in life like to know what's coming next. When things don't go according to plan, it's vihine. It's not very pleasant. Something over here is very disturbing, and that's exactly what's happening when a person has a nega. Rachman Lutzlan said vihine, you have to come to the Kohen. But yet there's something significant about the number 25. Number 25 is the 25th blessing, the 25th gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Kohanim. And what is that gift? That gift is to help us. That gift is to bless Klal Yisrael. To bless Klal Yisrael, to be mashpia upon Klal Yisrael. So it's 25 times Vehine for the Yisrael, but it's also 25, it's also the coin that's going to assist the boil, Aaron Ubonov, to help out. They're going to be doing their job, and their job connects, whenever you say 25 with the reference of the coin, you're focusing on Yivarechacha, Yoher, and Yisa. They're there to help Klal Yisrael. And it's not a coincidence, nothing is a coincidence, that the first time that this bracha was said to Klal Yisrael took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, tomorrow, when they finished the Mishkan, by Aaron HaKohen. And all of these things are coming together on this one very day. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, we have just, this is just a little bit, this is an observation. It's not a complete idea. It's not my observation. We have here all different types of tsaras. A tsaras of a beged, tsaras of a bayis, tsaras of various parts of the body, And then one of the categories of tsaras, when a person has tsaras on his head, a negat tsaras beroish oy bezokon, the head. Now, if you take note, every time a person is presented with tsaras in the parasha, the Torah is very delicate. It says, "V'chuva," the person should be brought to the kohen. He's brought to the kohen, and the kohen looks at him. Not to go into detail at this moment, we'll look a little later. But the Torah goes very easy on the patient, the one who's suffering. Torah is delicate, in contrast to the situation where a person has a nega on his head. The ish ki yimari droishai kereachu tarhu. A person who goes bald, he's tar. This is the end of the parasha. Paragud gimel pasuk mem aleph. Pasuk mem aleph. The im nip as panav yimari droisho gibeachu tarhu. The im v'chiyeh pasuk mem beis. V'chiyeh va korachas oy vagabachas nega lovon adam dam. If he has on his forehead or on his scalp, he has a nega lovon adam dam. Saras parachasi bekorachtoy begabachtoy. And here the Torah is very explicit. It doesn't say the person should be brought, you know, privately. You know, you take the person into the doctor's office and there's a screen behind, no one should see the person, should be embarrassed. No, here the Kohen himself comes, oh, I hear you have tsaras. let me come. My big day. Exactly, the exterminator is parked, the car, the Kohen mobile. The Kohen mobile is parked. The bulletproof Kohen mobile is parked in front of the patient's house, and the television stations are all there with their antennas all the way in the sky. And there's a mob scene from the media. Guess who has tsaras? You'll never guess who has tsaras. It's posted all over the place. For all you saw, a Kohen of Hinei. This is again the hine, and it says what it is. So the pasuk is very explicit. Ish tsaruahu tamehu tameye tamenu. The Torah goes way out. This ish is a tsarua. This person is tame, tameye tamenu. Everyone should scream at him, "You're tame." The hatsarua and the tsarua sheboy hanega begodov yufurumim roshu yefurua v'al sofam yate v'tame tame yikro kol yimei hashenegabo yitmo tamehu bodad yeshev. off the charts, totally off the charts. Contrast the way the Torah deals with this person relative to the way we deal with a nega on the skin, a nega on the bias, a nega on the clothing. The Torah is very delicate. All of a sudden, when it comes to nega on the head, whew, Torah goes off the charts. So the answer, I saw this answer in a few different places and expressed different ways, is that the negoim, they represent much deeper defects in the person. Not just an accident, a person that has a rash on his head, on his skin, on his clothing. This means there's something wrong. If a person has a nega on his clothing, so it means he's not wearing the right clothing. It means he's a little, maybe he's a bit balgaiva. He has problems, he has issues. But when a person has a nega on his head, this means his deos, his ideology, his hashkafa is corrupt. It means there's something fundamentally wrong with this person. A person who has hashkafas, his hashkafa, an apikores, we have no Torah, has no rachmanis, an apikorsim. A sefer Torah shekasva imin yisarif. According to Nikar Hadin, a min apikores, the person can be put to death. You can kill him. There are a lot of things that we don't do today, of course, but there are the Torah has no rachmanis not bikarsim, because these type of people are a danger for Klal Yisrael, and people have to know. A person is a little bit, he has a problem with his clothing, he has a problem with his bias, he has a rash on his skin. These are minor defects, so we can deal with it. We will rehabilitate him and we'll do it in a very dignified, bakavadika way. But when a person has deos, krizovos, false understanding of Yadus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is a danger for Klal Yisrael, he has to be taken care of in a very open way. People have to be aware of the danger. It has to be done in a very in a very open way.
Kohen doesn't let him into his house.
What? The Kohen, that's right, the Kohen does not let him into his house. That's exactly, it's a very severe, when the machshava, the mind, when the Rosh is corrupt, it's serious business. So we can take note that nothing happens by coincidence. And tomorrow is the mother of all heads, of all Roshim, because tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it's Rosh Chodesh. It's Parshas HaChodesh. HaChodesh HaZel Lochem Rosh Chodashim. It's the beginning of Yadus. It represents Klal Yisrael is getting a new start. It's also Rosh Chodesh. The Rosh is critical. When there's a problem in the middle of the year, no, so you can deal with it. You can be very delicate in how you deal with problems that arise, that come forth in the middle of the year, the end of the year. They can be dealt with in a very delicate, in a very bakavadika way. But when you begin something when you start something fresh, when you're dealing with the Rosh, if it's not 100% accurate, if it's not 100% on the mark, watch out. We don't tolerate, there's no toleration for fools, there's no toleration for anything that is not 100% when it comes to the Rosh. On Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, the new year in that respect, Simoni Milsa. We are obsessed with doing things, little stinny things, what we eat, what we do, every little thing. You shouldn't sleep the first day of the year. You should eat only things which are good simonim, so good omen. When you start something new, it has to be done perfect. It's not a coincidence. We're going to read about all the negoim, it's no big deal. V'chuva el ha-koyein. Be very careful, don't embarrass him. But when it comes to the Rosh, you have to be on the mark. Tomorrow is the Rosh. It's a new beginning. A new beginning in the Klal Yisrael every year. And it has to be with a freshness and with an excitement. Otherwise, the Torah is going to single us out and it's going to come down very hard upon us. Now, in the Haftarah, I just want to make another observation in the Haftarah and the Rashi and the Chumash. In the Haftarah, we learn about the significance of what's going to happen in the times of Mashiach. And there's one pasuk which a lot of the Mepharshim, they focus on, and that is when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, Mirtz Hashem b'mher v'yameinu, and we come to the Beis HaMikdash. So it tells us in the Haftarah, following pasuk. This is in Yecheskel Perik Mem Aleph. Perik Mem Aleph, I don't have here the psukim in this edition, but towards the middle of the Haftarah, it says, Uvivo Am Horetz Lufnei Hashem Bimo Adim Haba Derech Shahar Tzafon Lihishtachavos Yetzei Derech Shar Negev Vihaba Derech Shar Negev Yetzei Derech Shar Tzafon Lo Yoshuv Derech Hashar Sher Bo Voy Ki Nicho Yetzei. Torah is very marked that when you come to the Beis Hamikdash, you don't enter and exit from the same gate, because familiarity breeds contempt. Is that the expression?
Yeah.
You don't want to become too familiar with the Beis HaMikdash. If you come in from one entrance, you have to leave from a different exit. If you come in from the west, coming from the south, you leave from the north, north, south, so on and so forth. This is what Chatshus is. This is a major theme of HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem. In order for something to be new, to be fresh, to have the freshness of renewal the entire year, you don't treat something with, don't let something become too familiar. Always look for freshness, and that's what's expressed here. It's interesting, it's very noteworthy. I just wanted to make this observation. I don't mean to give, I don't have a complete idea, but when it comes to tzaras, Rashi makes an emphasis and tells us the ikar chelik of the tzaras, which declares the person tamei, are the white hairs. Okay, this is seen in the beginning of the parasha, when we begin with the parasha of tzaras. Okay, so we have over here in Baheres, we have a Baheres. Now let's go further. V'ra'a koines ha-nega, v'or ha-bos. So he se'or ba-nega. The koin examines the nega, and he sees the nega, a se'or, a here, ba-nega, hofach lovon. It turned white. U'mareya ha-nega, omoik me'or b'saro, nega tzaras, hu v'ra'a koin v'tine'oso. So Rashi in this pasuk tells us, in the beginning of the parasha, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says over here. So just because there is a rash, there is some bright white spot on a person's skin, that does not automatically mean he's a mitzora. There has to be that white here. There has to be the here. And it says here, Eis Shemois Negoim, Rashi Pasuk Gimel says, Mitchila Shochor. First it was black. V'hofach lelavon b'selcha nega. And then Rashi goes on to say, every time it says the word Se'ar in the Parsha of Negoyim, Umiut Se'ar Shinayim. Every time we have a halacha of having a nega, and the requirement, the makir the patish, to make a person's nega tame is here, it has to be two hairs. Niut Se'ar Shnayim, and those two hairs turn white. Now, I don't have a complete, I'm just making an observation. We're learning tomorrow the Haftarah, and we're learning the parish of Tzaras, and the Ikar Chelik of the Tzaras, the Makkah Parish is the here. It's not a coincidence. You can't tell me it's a coincidence that the word Se'ar is the same letters as Sa'ar. In the Torah, there are no dots. Even though one is a shin and one is a sin, it's the same exact letters. A gate. A se'ar is a sha'ar, is a gate. In fact, scientists tell us that every here has a pore. Every here is even hollow. If you take a look at a here under a microscope, a here is hollow. And when it goes into the body, there's a gateway. A here is a gateway into the person's body. What determines a person becoming when does the Torah declare the person you have a problem? When there are two white hairs, when there used to be two black hairs, and your gates, your sh'orim, have turned sour. And how many? Two. And they're right next to each other, and they're both white. Perhaps there's a drush. Is that the difference between the Haftorah and the Negoim? It's chadshus, freshness. Closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when you, the shahr that you come is not the shahr that you leave. Meaning, the gate, when you come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there has to be Yiras HaRemimus. There has to be, it's expressed in the way that we describe the Yiras HaRemimus we have for the Ribbono Shel Olam is through the Sha'arim. The shahr you come in, you come, is not the shahr you leave. This is where you can see, you have a litmus test of are you holding, are you with the program? Do you have the proper reverence for the Ribbono Shel Olam? The Yiras HaRemimus of the Beis HaMikdash of the Shechina, the shahr, Asher Yavo, is not the shahr. when the Torah is telling a person, Vihine, you have a problem. You got a problem. You need tikkun. You need to go to the kohen. The way the Torah, it's the makke, the patish, you start off with a rash, no big deal. They block ears. But when two of the sha'arim, when the two sha'arim turn white, it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call that your yiras haroimimus is not where it should be. And there needs to be tikkun. Okay, that's just the ha'ara. And let me leave you one other ha'ara about why the nature of tsaras. Rashi explains that tsaras, the nature of the call of tsaras, it's omoik min ha'ar. And Rashi explains what's the omoik min ha'ar. It's like the mare of the chama relative to the tzel. I'll read you the words of Rashi. It's pasuk gimel. The same Rashi. The first time we have introduction to the concept of tzaras. Omoik me'or b'saro kol mare lavon omoku kimare chama amuka min hatzel. Like the mare of chama is deeper than the mare of tzel. Why do Rashi need to tell us this? It's obvious. You have over here a white spot on your skin. So obviously the white spot. Why does Rashi come and tell us the Cham Amukam in Atzel? Perhaps Rashi is trying to tell us a drush. We can suggest a drush is that Hashem Tzilcha Hashem Yiminecha. When a person, you live your life, you're always trying to find shelter in the shade, in the Tzel of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Kruvim, we always, Chazal use very often this concept that we take refuge in the tzel, in the shade of the Shechina. When a person is not where he is holding, when a person has a problem, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to awaken him to do tshuva, the tzel is lacking. The tzel of his guf is lacking. The description of a nega is the amoik min ha'ar. It's kechama neged hatzel. The tzel is lacking. Your attitude towards coming close and taking protection in the tzel of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is lacking. And that is a wake-up call to do tshuva. May we be zoicha to his chachos. Triple schachus ve'achut ha'meshulash loy b'meir yinotek. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and.